It's funny because last week I didn't really read that. I just assumed we were doing chapter five because it's not a very big chapter. And so honestly, when we just went through 1 through 12, I was like, that's lame until this week. We need 2 weeks on this because it is so much. Okay, so N.T. Wright, here we go. We're just going to dive right in. We are on lesson seven, and I don't know what page it is. I mean, what page is it? Why are they so hard to see? I don't get it. They are hard to see, aren't they? It's just oh, perfect. Thank you, Susan. All right, so this one is called The True God. What 1 John 5:13-21. And guys online, please like weigh in because we love what you have to say. The Creator has brought his future purposes into the present. I mean, we could just stop right there. Like, really, I highlighted that and I was just like, we could sit in that for so long. The Creator has brought his future purposes into the present. Do you believe it? Do we live like it? What does that even mean? That is why something radically new has been launched upon the world. Even as the drastic cost of God's own son, at the drastic cost of God's own son. This is why sharp conflict has come into being between those who represent this new life and those who are desperately trying to contain the new wine in old bottles to insist that nothing quite so drastic has actually happened. What then for those who find themselves caught up in this extraordinary and unprecedented overlap of the two ages? Do you get what he's saying right here? Like, this is the statement. You have eternal life today. Like, eternal life informs your day today. John amplifies what he said earlier, and he echoes promises made by Jesus. Those who believe in Jesus, those who abide in God, can pray with a new, bold confidence. Okay. What do you pray for with confidence? What do you pray for with confidence? That's a hard question, isn't it? Anybody?
For all the things that I know him to be. All that I know him to be.
So when you pray, you're praying what you know him to be and applying that to your prayers?
Just coming before him and giving and worshiping him for the reality of his unconditional, never-ending, infinite love. Mercy, faithfulness, those kind of things. And so, and really then you find whatever it is that's weighing so heavily for me.
Well, that's so biblical because that's exactly what they did. If you look back, I'm in Kings, I'm in Chronicles with one of the kids. The only one that's left in the morning still looks at me and says, Bible in the morning. I know. And I'm just like, I did started it when they were little. I never stopped. I've never said, sit down and listen. I just read it and I'm like, good luck with that, you know? And to have a 14-year-old say Bible, which my 18-year-old did all last year, and the more icky, hard things were in our life over the last couple of years, the more they're asking for it. There's a ladder on our back house out there. He's been climbing up and going and reading the Bible on top of, and let me just say, that's not because we're like, hey, go read the Bible. It's because he's got, the other day when he was leaving, he said, as you get older, do the days get sadder? Mm-hmm. And I just was like, oh, because he has a reason to say it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, but that he would turn there is so fascinating. So in Kings, in the Kings and Chronicles, it's mostly the story of the kingdom of Judah, and these kings, most of those kings were good kings and sought after the Lord. And there is more than one occasion where the Lord went before and fought the battle for them. And you know what those people did? They worshiped. They didn't go forward saying, do this, do that. All they did was worship. So I love that you said that because that's what they did. Even the walls of Jericho, that blasting of the trumpets, that screaming, that was worship. So huge. Thank you, Candy. Boy, that sure changes your prayers, the confidence, doesn't it? But it's a hard question to answer.
I put that the Lord's will be done, that my mind and eyes and heart accept whatever that is, and that, to know that He works all things together for my good, even when I don't see it in His glory.
Okay. Yeah. Really great. That's you can pray in confidence. What allows you to pray in confidence?
What he's shown me in the past.
Okay, so evidence, experience, who He is, which means that it's all focused on Him. When it's focused on me, maybe that's where I have trouble. I don't know. And then this lovely question, when do your prayers lack confidence and why? Yes.
That was well timed for me. When I pray for family members who are not believers yet, mm-hmm. like, are you going to do this? You know, it's not me. It's the Holy Spirit and somebody else. And if it's closer to home, if I'm more confident. If it's a little further removed, it's like, will you? Will they?
Okay.
I know He can, but will that come to pass?
So why is it hard to pray in confidence over that?
Because I don't know the outcome, and it's really important.
Okay, because you don't know the outcome, it's really important.
So it comes down to control.
I have mm-hmm.
control. Mm-hmm. What'd you put?
Control.
Control.
Mm-hmm. Or when you can't see.
Can't see.
Sometimes prayers that sound like the plan you're giving God.
Yeah.
You know, if you would only do, you know, it's like, instead of saying, just give me what I need to walk through this, help me recognize You. It's like you have the plan lined up, and I start praying. Okay, so if You would do this, then I could do this again. It's like, that doesn't work.
Okay, so that goes to control.
Control.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes in my prayers, the control is revealed. It's as I'm praying it, and thinking through it. I'm like, wait a minute, I can't be asking God for this. And that's when I go back to, Thy will be done. I don't know, but the outcome is here. I need You to just pray into this for me, because I don't know what would be best for this child, but You do for whatever the situation.
Yeah.
Now, I heard this really interesting thing once. It said, this guy was on the internet, and people were asking him questions. He was like a pastor or something. It was funny. He was growling. He was very casual about it. And it was like, does God answer all prayers? And he goes, oh, yes. But sometimes the answer's no. You know, and so, I mean, I think that's some, you pray for something and it's just not happening and not happening and not happening. And then you recognize, I mean, it's Your will, not His will. Or, I mean, there's just something that, even though you feel like you're praying for great things and you're not praying for yourself, those people just haven't learned yet or something. You know, I mean, it's just not time. It's like, that's the thing. God sees all time and we can't.
Well, and that's a big part of what He talks about in this. Because, I mean, at the end of our prayers, I don't know if we realize that and if it's so ingrained in us, but we say, amen. What does amen yet mean?
Yes.
Okay. And so I put out there, we got in a discussion because being the crafty weirdo that I am, I was like, what would help? Because there was some of this in here that it's like pray and pray knowing that the answer, that it, your prayer is answered. Okay. And so I made these little things for y'all, and you can, there's not, whoever wants them, take them if you want them. Don't take, I mean, and if there aren't enough, well, I'll make a couple more, but I put yes on it. And the whole idea was to write what your prayer is underneath there. The one that you don't believe, the one that the hard one, if you have a hard one, which you may or may not, but you may know someone that has a hard one. It doesn't matter. A couple of years ago, we did this with one. There's a psalm that says that you walk through this. It's like you walk on ground where His footprints are not seen. And I loved that because it's the same idea. You don't see the footprints. It's not that He's carrying. You know, it just is a psalm saying He's there no matter you, whether you see Him or not is irrelevant because He's there and He's walking ahead of you. And so take one of these if you want. You can write what you want on the vellum, whatever you want. There's some that say yes, and there's some that aren't, because the truth of the matter is our prayers are heard, and and it's beautiful what John says about that in this. And this is a hard concept because some of those deep prayers, they're, you know, or things that you're afraid of. all kinds of things. And so to know that they're safe in his hands changes the story. How you walk. Okay, so great stuff. This is why we are not going to get through this. Read 1 John 5:13 through 21. Who wants to read it? Anybody?
I can read it.
Okay, great.
Write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him.
Okay. Do you see that right there? All right. Keep going.
Okay. If you see any brother or sister commit a sin that does not lead to death, you should pray and God will give them life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I'm not saying that you should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is sin that does not lead to death. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We also know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Dear children, keep yourself from idols.
Thank you so much for reading. And again, Lord, we just ask, please go before and teach us. May your Holy Spirit just illuminate, because you are the light, your wisdom. Amen. Okay, so we thought 1 John 5, 13-21. What does John say? Okay, why does John say we can have confidence in our prayers? And I mean, there's a few points. So why does he say this? Because it's really beautiful. He hears us. He hears us. Okay?
Because we're on this side of Jesus too.
Okay, go
because
further.
Jesus is there and the Holy Spirit is there. It's like before this age, there wasn't Jesus, and the release of the Holy Spirit for anybody that believes.
Okay,
him.
That's so interesting, though, because it says those who believe. Okay, and so that's a really interesting thing that you brought up, because yes, they did not know who was coming, just like we haven't seen who it was, and yet they were looking forward. We're looking backward. It's still the same Jesus.
Right.
And therefore, that's how Abraham, it was counted to him as righteousness, okay? Because he was looking forward, all right? So technically, it all hinges on belief in Jesus, in the Messiah, okay? In that, you have eternal life, all right?
He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Yes, he's absolute. His absolute victory over darkness and death, as witnessed by the resurrection and by John. Okay? What else?
It says we ask according to his will.
Yes. Okay. So we ask according to his will, because then you have to ask the question, what is his will?
Well, I'm thinking about her because it says he's willing to let you perish.
Yeah.
That's hard.
But then you have to rest and trust in that part of the knowledge of God that we do not understand and we will not understand. And so there again goes this absolute rest going, this is what you say. I don't know how that works, but I'm going to rest and trust. Do you know what I mean? So that is his, he states his will often through scripture. What have we learned is his will here? Like what is it just that John has been saying?
That we love one
another. Okay, so it's love. It's hinged and centered on love. Anything else?
Well, I think that if you do truly love, even those that don't believe, you know, then that's what you do. You pray for them. I mean, you're doing what you can.
Right. Yeah, and serving and, yeah.
I'm in the same situation. And I have people that are running out of time, I think, my time. But not this time, you know.
Yeah. And even ourselves from wherever we feel that way. So he hears our prayer. We can have confidence. It says you can pray confidently. And the assurance that he answers because of who he is. He hears our prayers. He is love incarnate. And then, unless I put through the understanding and living today's eternal life, life in everything, in every situation, as Christ has defeated the darkness because he is the light of the world. And it made me think about, because he says that, and it was like, he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And there are seven I am statements that Jesus said that are so powerful that apply to this. And they're I am statements that are, that have action with them. And then there's I am statements. There's two that are declarations. And Candy talked about one last week when all of the whole army, I was explaining to one of my kids the other day, do you understand how many people were coming? Like, and that they were armed up like to the hilt. And when he said, I am he, they all fell. They fell to the ground, every knee bowed in his presence in the Garden of Gethsemane, as every knee will bow when he comes back in glory. And that is one of the declarations. And these declarations are so powerful as they relate to this question. Why can we have confidence in him? Because of these statements. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Do you feel that way? It doesn't matter, because this is what he's giving you. Do we live that way? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he said that at the Last Supper, okay? Telling them who was authority, that he is Yahweh, because that's what I am means. There's no beginning and there's no end. I am the light of the world. He said that before the blind man saw, because the light came in. I am the door for the sheephole, for us, for the sheep to come in. I am the good shepherd, which means he's the protector, even unto death. I am the resurrection and the life. He spoke it, raising Lazarus from the dead. I am the way. I am the life. John 14:6. I am the true vine. He's the sustaining power, which means you don't have to do it on your own. He is the power source. And that goes to this why. Why can we have the confidence to pray this way? Because who it is, okay? Who it is that says it. And so I hope you'll take one of these little bookmarks and know that whatever you're praying is exactly what he said. This statement right here, which is pretty darn bold. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, who is all of these I ams, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. He hears you. And another beautiful thing on those times when you're like, I've got nothing left to say, he prays for you. Let him. And do you believe that he does? He did it every day while he was here. Do you think he's quit? No. He doesn't quit. He's praying for you. And that, I've done that. I'm like, I have nothing left. Please, please pray for me. And then to go, of course you're praying for me. Thank you so much for praying for me. And then sinking into that part where you can breathe. So when my kid asked me the other day, as you get older, does the sadness get more? I was like, here's the truth. You know, good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people. And that's the way it is. Bad stuff happens. And I was like, there's a difference though, between sadness that leads to despair, because the sadness that leads to despair is kind of like the prayer when I'm in control. I'm making it all about me. I'm letting my thoughts go voo, 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 down all the iterations of the what ifs and the all of that. And it's like there's a sadness that leads to hope. And sadness attached to hope is joy. And I was like, I think the answer is joy, honey, because I don't know what else there is. And joy is where the ground is solid when you're walking through walls of water. You know, and it doesn't change. You're not, it's kind of like we were talking about, you're not connected to the wind where something changes and you're doing this, which can be so much stuff. It hits us all around. just all the stuff that makes us anxious that we get to see, because, and it makes sense, you know, of course this is what's going to happen. Of course, you know, and it's like, no, stay tethered in hope, because hope reigns eternal, because hope is, you remember when we were reading this a few weeks ago and it was like, who is hope? His name is Jesus. He is the I am that is behind all of this. And that is worth fighting for.
And I think too, Kay, I think we don't think, or at least for me, one of the things that seems like I'm just going more and more, aha, aha, is that John's whole emphasis through his gospel and through all the letters is relationship.
Yes.
It's a fellowship. And so I went back again to, this is just John 14. And he says, you know, so when that day comes, you will know that I am living in the Father and that you are one with me, mm-hmm. for I will be living in you. Mm-hmm. And you know, before that, he has said, anyone who's looked at me has seen the Father. Mm-hmm. Don't you believe that the Father is living in me and that I am living in my Father? And now, you know, he's in us.
Yeah.
And so he's...
It's connected.
It is connected.
It's intimate.
It is, and we can't be disconnected.
I love that. Yes, because you cannot get his name off of you. Good luck.
No.
So for me, we had five kids, that, you know, 25 to 14. And so, but out of all of them, there have definitely been periods where it's like, I hate God. I don't want him. Everything that I know about him hurts me. And to be able to listen to that conversation and go, okay, and to say to them, question as much as you want, just don't question with the answer, you know, don't have the answer, ask the question. And then I sit there going, and I'm like, I know your name is on them. Your name cannot depart from them. I know you run after them. And to me, that's all I need to know. That's it. And then I can walk next to them and say, and not be spewing Christianese at them, because all it does is make them vomit. Because where we live, a lot of kids have been hurt by religion. They've been hurt by their parents, you know, by me. I'm saying they're in the wake of me. I wouldn't want to be in the wake of me. I'm in the wake of me and I get tired of me, you know? And so, because I'm just trying, whatever, and I'm learning, and it's all those aha moments, like, and so it's like, do I trust him enough to believe that? Because we know in Isaiah 43, he says, you are mine. You are mine. I call you by name. You are mine. That's one of my favorite statements. And he says in that short passage of however many verses, because this is the ones we were doing, who you are says who. He says, you are precious to me and I love you. Like, I love you. And that means something. We were talking earlier because my parents would say, you know, they'll say, like to my kids, I love you. And they're like, blah, blah. You know, rah, rah. And I'm just sitting there going, could you give me some credibility? I said that in the car the other day. You know, you are older now. Could you give me some credibility as a human being? Like, I am your mother, but whatever, can I not like you? And, but I get it, because I do the same thing. I'm like, ugh, you love me, you know? And because there's something, it's so hard to even be loved. I don't understand our deal with that. And yet this is the Lord of the universe, who is the I am. There's no beginning. There's no end. He spoke you into being. When you were conceived, it wasn't an accident. You're not an accident. No one is. You're his. He pursues you. He sees you. He knows you by name. And you are precious to him. And he, the Lord God Almighty, says, I love you. I love you. Please help me receive that. That's what I wrote. Help me believe it. Help me believe it. Then I pray differently.
Okay. You know, that just back to the first question, it totally addresses, like, I took it totally different. What do you pray for? I pray that God will use me. And then I put, what do you lack? That I would be sufficient, because I don't believe that. You know what I mean?
No.
And then it's about me.
It's about, and then you, even writing that, it has to feel like,
mm-hmm. So like I wrote that. Now, going back and looking at it, I'm like,
wait a second. I am not sufficient.
I mean,
yeah, but you are.
It's not me, and I'm not sufficient. And so it just, But it's true. We don't believe God's love. But, I mean, that wouldn't even matter if I was sufficient or not. Because
doesn't matter.
Yeah.
In fact, right, because there goes the plan A.
Right.
We love to think that the garden, we take it back to the garden, they're like, shame on them for shame. I wouldn't have done it, would I have?
Yes, I would have. Oh, my gosh. You know?
And, but there, that was plan A. That was not plan B.
Yeah.
It was plan A. So that John's beautiful, so that you might know who I am and abide in me, because in that is relationship with the inside God, the inside of God. And please don't let that escape you as some like, what the heck is that? Just for a second, consider the inside you. Okay. You're looking at me, the outside of me. And you're getting to know a little bit of the inside of me because of my big mouth that never stops talking. But you still don't know the inside me because I don't really even know the inside me. And so just for a second, your soul, the essence of who you are, is what lives forever. Please, for one second, consider the enormity that the essence of God lives in you. That's so enormous. And everyone knows that except us, because we're the only ones that can't see it. Every creation and all the heavenly beings know it. They don't know the inside God because they can see him. That's the gift. Yeah, Becky.
Today, the verses I journal on were in Matthew 21:21-22. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it will happen. All things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." And next is out here, faith gives power to our prayers. And that just makes me go straight to, Lord, I believe, help my mind.
Yeah, because you don't even, that big
truly,
gift.
We can say to a mountain, move into the sea and it will move. Do I believe it?
Because that if-then statement, again, is not there as an accident, because we're very familiar with if-then statements. Everything that we live on this planet is if-then. If you do this, then you will blah, blah, blah. If you get, when my kids were little, if they get into Mother's Day out, at Highland Park Methodist, or UP Methodist, then they'll have friends when they're in kindergarten. You know, I mean, it's just ridiculous to look back to the world's if-then statements because they're ridiculous. And so there's the if then that we're very comfortable. The answer to that if then is his enormous economy, because then, because you are mine, then you're not resting in your own power to do that. It is my power that is in you.
Yeah.
Because you are precious, you are safe. I see you. You are known. You belong. You know, fill in the blank. And so, yes, and it's so easy to get tripped up. And I don't know why. It's like, it'll be fun to sit in his presence going, why all the trip ups? Like, that just like beg us to be in control, to make it about my strength, to go, what did you write again? It's so perfect.
That I would not be sufficient.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So it's so amazing because sufficiency is handled. That's what this whole ladder is. I mean, the entire ladder.
That's why
I mean, and it's because that's us. No. It's like we are, this is us. It's like, this is us because we're all like, yes. I mean, I feel that a lot for why I don't pray confidently. And it's like me for when, why I would, you know, it's sort of like, because it's part of who we are. And there goes the working out of your salvation, believing. And the stuff he's given us in this book to actually hang on to and to, you know, experience little by little, like this fact that you can live an eternal life right now, because that's a major mind shift. And N.T. Wright again started with that, going, the age to come, which we've been groomed to believe is way out here. Come on in, Julie, is today. Because you can have eternal life today. You can have the abundance today. You can walk as he walked today. Why might a Christian doubt that he or she has this life? I mean, the life of the age to come. Why do we doubt it?
We listen to the world.
Yeah.
We find our identity in the if then or what we do, performance.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, for me, it's also, I see people sometimes that are just, you just know that they have the peace of the Lord. And I say, I don't have it. Why don't I have it? You know, or they have the joy. And I'm like, why am I not joyful? And so then I feel like there's something lacking in me and that I don't have those yet. I want them and I'm trying to get them, but I just feel like I'm not there yet.
Well, and there it's like resting in my own. And I know you know this. It's going to him and asking. And I think it's all this, like what Candy said, it's a re-informing ourselves of the truth that it's not me that's going to gain the peace. It's his peace that's given to me. Please show me where you're doing that. Because it's funny, on the very last question, it was something like that. You know, what marks of the life of the age to come do you hope other people see in you? Joy. I wrote, those are the two things, peace, joy, you know, because that's the essence of being able to go, I don't have to understand it all. I choose you. Because what else do we choose? There's nothing else worth choosing. You're the only thing worth choosing. Rest of it doesn't make sense. How could I write on here a request and affirmatively say yes? I don't know. Because it doesn't make sense to me. But I know who the one who is that I say amen to.
And the reality is, you do have his peace and his joy.
You do.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, just begin thanking you for that. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the peace. Thank you for the joy. Thank you, Jesus, that you were in me. I mean, I just think, yeah.
I looked up joy in, I think it was Unger's Bible Dictionary.
Yeah, what did it say? Yeah,
it is the possession. It's the possession of a present or future good.
A present or future good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So joy is not always smiling.
No.
Mm-hmm. No.
Joy isn't connected to circumstance.
Can I answer something?
Yeah.
I just practiced something that was so transformative for me. And I just want to share it really in true humility. And I don't have it figured out. But there's been something that I've just struggled with and prayed over and prayed over as a child. And finally, I just thought, if I really believe who he is, then I know he's going to answer. And I don't know what it's going to look like, but it's going to be true and right and the best. So I grabbed a friend and I said, I don't know how he's going to answer this, but I know he's going to answer. Mm-hmm. And I need us to go celebrate.
I love that.
If you have something, I have something. We're going to go have a celebratory dinner and we might cry, but he's going to answer. I want to look back and say, I can worship him in that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it helped lay it to rest. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
It's
not that we don't still struggle, but
and not that you still don't pray for it, but it's right. A different kind of prayer because mm-hmm. You don't want to go back to the question. Mm-mm. Yeah.
Is it so too good. When I mean gratitude. To your point that you're working on focusing and praising him, mm-hmm. And when we take our eyes off what we're praying for to see if it's being answered, then we took our eyes off him and we're looking at the. Mm-hmm. Yes. The circumstance.
That's why I wanted to do this. So it's like the vellum that's covering what the prayer is, because this is the truth. This is covered. Yeah, because it's where our eyes are. Yeah. So it always seems to go back to a couple of things: our identity, like who we are, our worth declared by him, and where our eyes are. Like, what am I looking at? Yeah. Okay.
So. I like to say this sentence to my child or myself, who told you you don't have joy? Who told you you don't have peace? It's just not true. Those are the fruit of the spirit, not the fruit of Becky. And they're in me. And for years, I prayed for patience. It's on my prayer card for patience daily. I prayed for patience. And then y'all know who Cynthia Tobias is. She might be one of my very favorite authors of all time, besides Kay. She said,
Cynthia Tobias is great.
Patience is not a gift. It's a fruit of the spirit that's already in there. And I must decrease and he must increase, which is one of my favorite verses. And so it's already there. So for me to think I don't have joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all of that is just a lie from someone, myself or the enemy, or you know, someone meaning to be good, but just not speaking truth. Because it's already there.
which goes to his admonition to walk in the way that he walked. And it's not walk in the way that he walked.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, you get to experience abundance. You get to experience peace. You get to experience joy. You get to experience safety. You get to experience wholeness. You get to experience completeness today. He lived that way. He absolutely lived that way every single day.
And it's true. Like a couple of Thursdays ago, my son was hit on football so bad hard. And it really took an act of faith just to let him play football because I was so fearful of paralyzation, to be honest. And the entire, everybody and all other 21 kids were at the other end. And he is on the ground throwing his helmet off. And I am like, and I could hear the mom behind me saying, mom, you okay? Mom, you okay? And all I could just say is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And total peace came over me before he even got up from it. Like peace came over me before I even knew he was okay. He's okay. But I knew that in the midst of a panic, I just had no clue what to pray. I just said, Jesus, Jesus, over and over. And I do feel the mom.
That's a great prayer.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it because there's that song that says, when you don't know what to say, Jesus, I'll never forget. That's what I'm going to say.
It's a good word.
And I decreased and he increased and the peace came over before Nick even.
So. Thank you for sharing. Okay.
Well, I was just, I just finished the IMS again. I haven't read it in years.
It's just the best.
It is the best.
And here, Betsy pray, thanks God for please in themselves. And I was just thinking, I could never, I mean, I would be like panicking. You know, I'm reading it, panicking, thinking I would want to get out of there, you know, and the peace that she was living internally the whole time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she really was. Okay, so it's not please for you today.
Right.
Okay, because seriously, let's lean into that, because I think we even get tripped up on going, I could never do that. Like legit, I got to go to Auschwitz and we were the first delegation to go there when I worked for the vice president. After the fall, you know, when the wall had come down. And I've never, it took a very long time to get over it because we were there with someone who had been there. Mm-hmm. And So all that to say, I remember going through the barracks going, I could not do this.
Right.
And then it's again, you know, like I'm sitting there going, and please don't ever let me, you know, just all that like, and it's sort of like, no. Betsy was in the fleas because he put her in the fleas.
And she saw that.
Yes.
She prayed, thank you for the fleas. And if they found out later, the reason the fleas were there was so she could witness.
It was just beautiful because the Lord redeems. He is a redeemer. And so wherever you are today, to be able to live in the wholeness and the completeness of surrender to the peace and the joy that's there, even though it could be really hard, it could be very sad, it could feel like there's no way out. It could be like it's been a long time and I can't do this anymore. It's like, where is that? Because one thing when I was writing the Peace Project, I there was a quote by Brené Brown that said, you can't be stressed about something you're thankful for. And I just was like, that is such an interesting, and it was this kind of hilarious interviewer that was sort of like thankfulness, blah, blah, blah. I mean, how many things? Why do we keep talking about gratitude, you know? And Renee said that to her. And she was like, well, that's super interesting. And she kind of made her go, well, I might try this. Like, I might try it. And she was overwhelmed by thankfulness. Being thankful in the moment whenever you're unsettled to find something in that unsettledness that actually you can be grateful for is so powerful. So powerful. It diffuses. It's a diffuser. It's a massive diffuser where it can allow you to live in the peace and to live in the moment rather than exist through it, which is a huge difference. And this is available to us because of the fruit of the Spirit, because of the promise, because of the I Am, because of the light of the world who dispels the dark. Yeah.
This may be so elementary, but I have this cute friend. She calls it, she'll say something for Prango. She says, I'm PTP. And I was like, what do you think? She's like, I'm praying to God, trusting that his answer will be, you know, trusting in him and then praising him in advance.
PTP.
And so now I'm PTP. I thought that was so
really good.
Elementary, but I don't know. That's
hard. I love that. And I love things that have letters that go with them. Crazy. Anybody else?
Thanks for sharing.
I think it's such a good exercise too to look back when you were talking about the fleeing, to look back on your fleeing moment or your those moments, and you know, when God's rejection, when rejection was his protection, and just sort of reflect on those, it kind of diffuses.
Oh, it so does. We can all use a little photo stroll every so often, the perspective that comes with it. I've sat in the carpool line before and just gone to get to old photos, and I click on it and I'm like, what was happening during this moment? Look at the smiles and just living in the fullness and the wholeness, and then let that apply today. Because
yeah, exponentially more dramatic.
Oh, and everything begs to take you down some spiral to nowhere.
Yeah.
I mean, it just does. And it's like, don't take the bait. Don't stick your foot in it. I mean, we've used the example before of a hurricane, and the eye is still. The eye is still. We have our choice. I can stick my foot out in there and be like whipped craziness, or I can stay in the center where it's still, you know? But it's true. It's around us all the time. Every party comes up, or whatever it is, every carpool, everything your kid's not invited to, every team that's not made, every F, just saying. And I breathe through the S. Honey, breathe through the S.
Please, no shaming.
I'm like, they'll come through, and who cares? Like, there's a pop. There is a college for everyone. And Dallas Community Colleges rock. I'm just telling you, best secret ever. It's cheap, and the teachers actually care. Like, they're teaching. Go figure. Okay, that's a little PSA for you. Anyway, because we've flipped it. And it's great. I'm not laughing. I really am telling you the truth. How do you discern whether you are praying according to his will? And we've kind of talked about this, you know, aligning it with him. And I think a big part of that is humility. It's what I heard from y'all, not looking at it, that I'm controlling it. Humility, honesty.
Being in God's word.
Being in God's word. So much so. Gosh, doesn't it help, Darian?
Just ask. Pray it. Asking things. And it's like you said, as you pray it, the other your eyes.
Yep. So true. Anybody else?
On that power of God's word, I just met a woman last week who was from South Africa, and she... it's random. She's dating a guy that she knew which church, so she would send him Bible verses, but she didn't have a Bible, she just Googled.
Okay.
And then she started being like, well, I wonder what's before that verse. And that is what brought her to Christ. Wow. Is the word of God. Isn't that cool? So the power of the word is amazing.
Yeah, I've seen it. Paige Benton this morning, she was had a section about God's will and kind of a secret will, but then the will that's revealed to us through his word, and just the importance of staying in his word. And she said, she was quoting from someone else, but it was like, it's so clear on the mountain, and as you get down to the world, it gets cloudy.
Yeah.
And so just you know, staying in the word.
Isn't that crazy? Because I don't know if you've ever read the book Hinds Feet in High Places. It's an old one. But it's in the higher places where it's so hard to walk, you know, and it seems like in the valley, but it's really in the valleys where it's harder to see him, because we don't really look anymore. And so please, in the good and the bad, he's the same. Yeah, may we worship him in both. And the word is so powerful. It is just so powerful. It aligns all the time. Even Candy praying that, I'm like, I just read about worship. They lit with worship. Worship is so powerful. So powerful.
It makes me think of this point too about celebrating in these moments too. Just there's a scripture in the Old Testament where it talks about I guess it's when they were reading the word for the first time, they just read the word all day.
Josiah.
And people were crying.
Yeah.
And he was like, why are y'all crying? This is time to celebrate.
Yeah.
And so I think even in our moments where the word feels, you know, reveals that truth or brings us to that place, and we can celebrate.
Yeah.
Not more in two, but we can also celebrate.
Because what a waste of time beating ourselves up. Such great stuff. Thanks so much. Question four. Most of our prayers concern the future. We want to see happen. He's so great at calling it out. Or we want what we want God to do for us or for someone else.
when we pray to God about the future, in what sense do we already possess the request we have asked from him? This is a mind-bender. Okay, in the knowledge that he hears, it's important to apply that, because he says in this, he hears us. And the consistency, which was absolutely revealed as he walked on this planet, which again, it's so important to read scripture because you get to see what Jesus did. When he saw, what did he do? He acted, okay? He heard and he acted. Even when the action centered redirection, okay? Because when he met with the Pharisees, he heard them and he acted. And often it was to redirect them because what they were doing was going to give them no life. It was just going to keep them in a prison. When he saw the woman at the well, he heard more than she said because he knows everything. And he acted. The blind man, the lepers that came to him. I mean, you name it. He saw it. He met them. The wine at the beginning. Miracle, 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 miracle. That's who he is. He hasn't changed.
And that's what I thought of with what Candy said. It's that walking, like he's in it. So we already possess, because we know, we don't really know what the future holds,
right?
But we're walking with who holds the future.
Okay. Okay. So let's put the Pharisees in this, because they came to him asking for a lot of stuff. Which he absolutely did not give them, because what they are asking for was not, number one, in accordance with his will. And they were looking for the Messiah as the Messiah was standing in front of them. Okay. And all of the redirects were efforts to help open their eyes, as he did with Paul. He opened Paul's eyes. The hearts that sought after him, he opened their eyes. All of that, I don't understand. I'm not saying anything about any of that, except that it's to be able to rest in who he is, his knowledge that surpasses all knowledge, the essence of the one who has no beginning or no end, the one who loves. He says over and over, God is love, God is love, God is love. Do we trust it? Do we even know what that is? Please help me know what love is. I'm not sure I know what love is. I don't even know if I know that. Please help me understand that. And then surrendering, knowing, I don't know, but you do. Okay. And because we could, in the same way they had decided what the Messiah was going to look like, I think we often do that. It's like we decide this is what it's going to look like, so that when we put eternal life in, like, forever to come, do we even hear him going, it's with you now? Like when he tells Peter, like, you know, Satan, go behind, because he's like, you have no idea, saying you don't want me to die. Like, what's coming is me. The one that lives in you, the essence of all of it, the power that raised him to live again, to never die. He has defeated death. I heard someone the other day going, the resurrection is irrelevant. And I'm like, the resurrection is everything. I know. And it was like, wow, because that is it. And so yes, yes, and yes, because of who he is. He hears, he acts. He's faithful. And it's like, plug it in. And he is good. He's the essence of goodness. And we get to see it in creation, even in the stuff that's dying, because all that's going to die, the seeds are going to go to the ground. The new life's going to come back. All right. So even as you trample over dead leaves, or look at limbs that look like they're dead. Ours don't, but all those acorns. John's so sweet. He swept them all up. But to be able to go, there's life, okay? Because may that inform whatever doesn't look alive to me today. You know, as whatever, you know, throw in any kids, young adults, I mean, myself. Those who believe in Jesus, who abide, he says it again in this, abide, and he talks about the seed, who abide in God, stand at the place where heaven and earth meet. That's unbelievable. They're encouraged to draw down the blessings of heaven into the life of earth, and to know, as they make their request, that they have already been granted, even though, as scripture itself and Christian experience both teach, they may be granted in ways one had not expected.
That's living eternal life
today. It is. That's, I mean, that has hit me so much in this letter, like over the head. And I want it. I like it. I love it. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've been grabbing hold of that for the last 3 years. And I'm like, it's really, like, I sit there often. I've been like, I think I made this up. And then I'll see it with NT Wright or somebody. I'm like, oh my gosh, no. Or I'll see it in the Old Testament. I'm like, oh, that is real. How is verse 16 an encouragement to keep praying even when we see people going in the wrong direction? There's two phrases. God hears, God gives life.
He just relentlessly pursues the wayward and the lost.
Me too.
I mean,
I know. I'm like, yes. Yes. I know. Relentless.
Yeah. He just ran me down. You know?
Yep.
So
yes.
It took a long time. It does take a long time because we hear a lot of things about him in Christian circles that aren't true about him. And I did. And so a lot of my ongoing walk with God depended on me. You know what I mean? And finally when I went, oh my gosh, it's just, no, it's breathe. I've got it. I've got you. You know.
Yep.
It's just.
And I really hope that what you're saying and what he's saying here will give us tender hearts towards the people that we might societally discard.
Yeah.
Because people matter.
Yeah.
People matter. They all have inside.
They all have stories.
Yep. Oh gosh, I learned so much about that for the mercy piece of the Peace Project. But gosh, being able to consider what's unseen. Anything else on that? It's hard to know exactly where John draws the line between sin, which is deadly, and sin, which is not deadly, because I know that stops us in our tracks. And that is the phrase that says the sin, there is sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that does not lead to death. And so he's addressing that. Perhaps he means that those who deny that Jesus has come in the flesh have committed a sin which puts them beyond the reach of redemption, since they have cut off the branch from which the fresh roots shoots of rescue promises are growing. Rescue promises, isn't that beautiful? Mm-hmm. And I think it goes back to one thing about this letter is that you remember how he said he repeats. This is almost a repetition. This is a tiny repetition of what we went through in chapter 3. In chapter 3, where he really goes into a little more detail about that. And he talks of making a practice of sinning. Yeah, Becky?
Is this? I'm asking a question. I had a hard time with this verse. I tried to do some commentary, and I'm not really good at looking at commentary. Or finding new ones, but is this John the Baptist's message of repentance? Is the sin not leading to death the sin that we're repenting from? I'm not sure if I understood what.
No, and that's where on this one, I think I would lean into what N.T. Wright is saying here, because even he isn't making an unequivocal answer to this. He's saying perhaps he means that those who deny Jesus, who have, and in chapter 3, he talks about the people that make a practice of sinning. Okay, and he also talks about idols, you know, if that is our inherent practice. I don't know, but I can tell you one thing. If you're convicted by this, that is not you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because it just isn't. It's like you would, if there wasn't a part of you that was seeking after him, you would never be convicted of your wrongdoing. Okay, so breathe. Really.
It's really important to know that the denial is the fact of the incarnation, that Jesus had come in the flesh, you know, because that was the heresy that was being taught.
That was the heresy that he was teaching right here. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he's very quick to give John some room. And I think that's where we stay or where we land. He says, is there another place where he goes into it? Let's keep reading. But Becky, we'll keep talking about it because the most important thing, and I think it is, and we've brought this up before, and Candy has so beautifully, to be able to say that if you're convicted of sin, like if you're feeling bad about it, you are not doing that on your own accord, by the way. I mean, you just aren't. We don't have that capacity. We happily live in the stupid things that we do, but we would never be the convictor. The Lord is the one who's convicting your heart. And so please breathe in that and encourage your kids in that too. Because we beat ourselves up so terribly. One of the comforting things about verses 16 and 17, which say, if anyone sees his brother committing a sin that is not leading to death, he shall ask and God will give him life. To those who commit sins that do not lead to death. And then the one that we just read. Okay. So we read that. It's the light they shed on verse 18. And this is 18. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who was born of God protects him and the evil one does not touch him. John thinks all Christians, okay, so without this, we might suppose that John thinks all Christians stop sinning altogether. With it, it is clear that he means, as I translate, everyone fathered by God does not go on sinning. It is the continuous habit of life that concerns John. Clearly, he would rather one did not sin at all, but occasional sins, a blip on the chart, can be prayed for, can be confessed and forgiven. They are quite different from the hard-hearted sin, which carries on regardless, and which, as in Romans 1 through 132, which it says they are given over to their sin, even comes to see action in question as not sinful at all. Mm-hmm. In verse 18, okay, that's a lot. Okay.
That last part is key.
It is key. It really is. Okay. And so, lest we be judges, let us be able to walk alongside each other, because we know that it is love that is so attractive. Being able to see a person, being able to say their name, being able to come alongside, because the Lord is the one who convicts the hearts. And he says that in the book of John also, I think chapter 6. In verse 18, John twice uses the phrase fathered by God. This is N.T. Wright's translation. It's also the Net Bible's translation, which is the Bible that the folks at DTS put together several years ago so everyone could have access to a Bible. Put it on the net so that everybody could have it. And those translators, this is, you know, where they landed to. And it's so beautiful, fathered by God, that you're fathered by God, who is referring to in each case. And what is the connection between the two halves of this verse? Of the verse. So verse 18 again, we know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who was born of God or fathered by God protects him and the evil one does not touch him.
Okay, I'll give it a shot.
Go for it.
So in the first part, he's referring to us, believers in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And the second one is referring to Jesus as the protector. This is what, yeah. So both are fathered by God, but that Jesus keeps us safe because he is God.
Yes.
He's from God. He is eternal life and love.
Yeah.
So he is the protector. Like, well, yeah, like nothing can ever take us from his hand.
Yeah. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yes. There's quiet.
I know. It's very heady, but the safe place for you to go, for all of us to go, is that we are fathered by God. First of all, you are children. And again, he talks extensively about that in chapter 3:2, that you are children of God. And then the one who is your protector, whose blood cries out for you every single day. And he is the one who protects you from the evil one. Does not touch him who and it is not allowed to touch you. As he, yeah, go ahead.
Think of it as the concept, like the blood on their house.
Yeah.
And then the spirit of death can get
that. Yes, and I think that can help us breathe in so many capacities, because it can really dial down an enormous fear that may or may not have even been taught to you when you were little. I think I told y'all when I was little, I heard, I'm in, I'm out, I'm in, I'm out, I'm in, I'm out. There was a phrase that was used, in fellowship, out of fellowship, as a young person. I thought, I'm in, I'm out. And it was crummy. It was really not a very nice way to live. Because I was always afraid. I was just lived in fear. I did not live in the love of God until the day I learned about grace, and I would never trade that for a gazillion years. And it wasn't in a happy place. I was in an eating disorder unit at a hospital, you know, because all that living in and out, in and out, and in and out, I couldn't do it anymore. And I didn't know I didn't have to. And so, oh my gosh, when the door was open on that one, I never looked back. It's sort of like the celebration. I never want to go back to that. I hated that. And to live in the freedom, I still don't know what it is, but I'm learning, and may it be more and more and more freedom. Question 7, as he draws his letter to a close, John writes that the whole world is under the power of the evil one. Let there be a reminder that it is under the authority of the one who is the power over everything, okay? It doesn't sound like he's going to wrap things up on a positive or hopeful way, but as you consider his letter as a whole, what gives you hope for continuing to live in such a world?
Well, I think it's a comfort. I mean, living in this world is so hard. If John wasn't upfront about that, you'd think, oh, wow.
That's such a great point.
I love that.
It's such a great point. So he's not, no one's sugarcoating this.
Right. So it's like, well, yeah, it is hard. I'm going to tell you why it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard because the devil has.
Yeah.
He's right here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he was given it. And even the demons know it, because when they came to Jesus, they were like, what are you doing? It's not the time. So they know who he is. Okay.
It's huge. And sugarcoated. I mean,
Jesus, you know, never sugarcoated it.
You know, 33, I think, where he says, you know, in this world, you're going to have tribulation, but.
And that's the key. And we talked about that. Let me please go back and read your stuff, because we talked about overcoming last week. I've overcome the world because I have, you have.
We because signed a mighty fortress yesterday. Did anybody else? Mm-hmm. Reformation Sunday. Mm-hmm. If I and my own strength can fly, mm-hmm. my striving would be with it. With the right man is on my side, the man of God's chosen. Mm-hmm.
So good. So, okay. Anybody else? Because yes, he is our hope. It reigns eternal, and it's alive and well today. Believers are everyone fathered by God, but Jesus is the one par excellence who is fathered by God. Jesus will keep believers under his protection so that the evil one, who for the moment retains power over this world, cannot do them harm. It may not always feel like that, but the part of the victory, that's right, it was like V-I-C-T-O-R-Y, of faith in 1 John 5:4 is believing that Jesus has, in fact, defeated, which he has. It's finished. And he said it. All the powers that might endanger us, and that we are in him, and so in the truth, as opposed to being in the lie of which the world has done its best to persuade us. Sometimes a short story writer tells a story cleverly so as to lead us in one direction, and then with the last sentence reveals something which changes everything. I don't think John intends to play a trick on his readers, but the final sentence of this remarkable little letter causes us to think back through what he has written to see where this apparently new idea comes from. And by the way, it comes from, I think we were in Listen, but we'll look at that in a second. Listen. 3 or 4. Why do you think John concludes his letter with the admonition, children, guard yourself against idols? And we can go back to the definition that was on page 20. Haha, that's hilarious because I can't read the pages. It says here on page 20, the world here, like the word flesh, when Paul uses it, means the world as it places itself over against God, which is what idols are. The world is the combination of things that draw us away from God, the flesh, the eyes, life itself, all can become idols. Like all idols, they demand more and more from those who worship them. All idolatry draws us into the lie, or if we're not careful, into the lie. We must celebrate all the goodness, the world, all God's goodness to us within his creation, but we must not worship it. Idols. Okay, so why would he close with that?
Because Christ is our true and only salvation. Don't fall for anything else.
Yes.
And the whole book is a message of love. And you cannot love God and love others in your Bibles.
Yeah, because you're obsessed with your, we've talked about it pretty much the whole morning. Because that leads us to ourselves. Whatever it is, it could be fear. It could be worry. It could be, because like, what are the idols? We can call them out again. We did that day when we were doing it. It's like acclamation, acumen, success, money, wealth, your children, your goods. I don't know. What is your idol? Because you're thinking about it. And therein lies this thing, exactly what Judy said. Put your, it's like our thoughts anchored on him. Him who is our victory. He is the all in all, instead of all the things that we so easily anchor our thoughts on that lead us down these roads to nowhere. What else? Anybody?
Intellectual knowledge.
Intellectual knowledge. Man, we, especially depending upon what, if you're in the Northeast, you really like that. You know? And we become prideful. And it's so beautiful. He would gently go, don't do that, children. Mm-hmm. Don't forget whose you are, beloved, 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 beloved. How many times did he say it in this book? A lot. The one, the disciple who Jesus loved, because he got it. He's telling us this because he got it. What are some marks? This is kind of where we're going back. What are some marks of life? Of the life of the age to come, which you most admire in other Christians. And if you admire them, claim them for yourselves, which is what Becky was saying earlier, because they are a part. The age to come beauty marks are on you. Peace, joy,
security,
godly perspective,
unwavering hope in hard times.
Oh, so, so good. Unwavering hope in hard times.
Before my husband and I were believers, he hired someone to work for him. His name is Britton. And so I met Britton and his wife, Beth. And the only words I could describe them were humble confidence. And there was something about them that I wanted to understand. And it drew me in. And like a moment, I'm like, is there arrogance? And he was like, clearly, no, there's this humble confidence, and I don't understand it at all. I truly do not understand it. And it, to this day, still, it's such an impression upon me. And they were strong believers, and that's who the Lord used to lead my husband, Christ, was written by God. It's pretty cool. But I still remember this humble confidence about him.
Humble confidence, that's so beautiful.
It was really breathtaking. It was cool.
Anybody else?
I had humility, generosity.
Yeah, generosity. Like true generosity, true, not to get something from it.
No, just
generosity. In verse 20, he says, and we know that the Son of God has come. And this is so beautiful. Here we go with this amazing verb. He has come, which means it's a done action that's still informing today. And has given us understanding. And I love this, that we may know head knowledge and experience knowledge, he who is true, and we are in him. He is the true God and eternal life.
Amen.
Amen. Anything else on this? His prayers at the end, pray confidently and boldly for other people. Pray confidently and boldly for yourself. Pray confidently and boldly that the life of the age to come will be obvious to those who meet you here and now. Which, by the way, if you're living that way, you're not doing anything to look like that. It's just, it's the radiance.
So true.
Yeah.
I had to share this. I was with a friend this weekend who is one of my dearest friends, but she doesn't live here anymore, and I don't get to see her very often, but she just always embodies to me what the Christian walk looks like, and just her joy and her peace and her faith. And she is not in the middle of an easy life right now. And I was just thinking about how her pantry was just a total disaster and how I wanted to organize it for her. And, but that is not where her importance is. And yeah. So I was thinking how this is where her life shows. And I know she's admitted, she's dropping balls all over the place.
Yeah.
But everything I see in what mm-hmm. she's doing in her life is the important thing mm-hmm. and the way she's pouring into people. And I'm just so amazed by that. Just the joy and the peace despite the craziness.
Yeah.
And how, like we were saying, you put the importance, the focus on the important things, not what your pantry looks like. Yeah. You know? Just crazy to me. I love that. It was just a sweet picture.
Yeah. I think the true generosity, you know, he said, not because they're going to get something from it. You know, generosity is so much more than just money. It's mm-hmm. your time.
Yeah.
Because the time is the thing you never get back in this world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just stopping all the plans you have for your day because someone needs help, needs a kind word, needs a something, needs somebody to notice them.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's the true generosity to me. Mm-hmm. And you have to rest in the Lord. That he gave you that because at the end of the day, you want a clean pantry.
You do.
You do. You want a clean pantry. You want to be able to say, I did the laundry, something around here made a difference. And it's very hard, unless you're connected to the Lord, to say, I had a good day.
Yeah.
Because that smile or that kind mm-hmm. word that you may have planted in somebody is so much more important than whether your house has sure. dirt all over.
Well, when we plan a pantry, we can be grateful for all the food. We can turn it into.
Yeah, I think it just depends what it is. Yeah. So it's like where you know, it's that because everybody has a different thing. And some people really genuinely have a gift of generosity. And some people don't have the capacity or their margin in their life today to be able to do anything extra. Mm-hmm. And so we don't have to know that. He keeps hitting home. The key is where you are abiding in relationship with the one who is light, the one who is life, the one who is eternal life that has been given to us today, so that you can wholly and fully live wherever you are. And that's where you're talking about your friend living in fullness and completion, which goes to that joy, which I was trying to tell Jack. It's that the good or the bad, you know, Solomon, that's the essence of Ecclesiastes. If you're gonna spend your life trying to figure it out, good luck, because you never will. You never will, because he isn't figure outable. Like he will forever and in his glory. One of my kids did, I think I told y'all, he was like, well, I don't really want to die because I don't really want to go to heaven. And I was like, why? Does it seem like it's going to be boring? And he's like, yes. You know, so I'm like, it'll be everything but boring. I'm like, all that you love that jazzes you, you're going to get to sit in it all day with everybody else that's jazzed in that part because of the gift that God, his little piece of him that he gave you. I mean, it's like endless excitement over these amazing things of life, like abundance and completeness and wholeness and the beauty of all of it, because that's who he is. It was his goodness that passed before Moses. It wasn't stern God, I'm going, you know, I'm smiting, here's my smiting passing in front of you. It was his goodness. And it was so powerful that he knew Moses would die if he saw the backside. I mean, it's like, what the heck? And then Moses comes down glowing for months. I don't know how long he glows. We have no idea, because that's how good the Lord is. And you talk about an amazing heaven. That's like where we live today is where it meets. It meets all that goodness, all of that glory, all of it lives in you. It lives in you. And it answers every single thing that unsettles you. It answers it. And it answered it. And it continues to answer with the words, it is finished. And it might not feel like it is, but it is. And the abundance comes in living and handing it over to the one, even when you're exhausted, saying, I've got nothing left. I can't do this anymore. And I sit there going, I must be doing it in my own strength. Well, please let it be your strength, because somehow I put this on myself if I feel like I can't do it. And then I don't know how that works. I don't know, but it has something to do with worship,
because then my eyes are on him and it's like I'm filtering all this out. And by the way, all this, it really makes sense. Like, it's not a leap to go, this is going to happen. And then to be able to back off and go, so what if it does? The Lord is ahead of that, just like he is with his angel armies that Elijah said, please let him see it. If you want him to see it, let him see it. But whether or not he saw it or not is irrelevant. And remember, T. Wright brought that story into here because that army is there today next to you because you are his, because he has written on you, you are mine. And nobody messes with you, even you. I am too. I look in the mirror and I'm like, gosh. Yeah. Like this. I'm like, ew. Or whatever it is. So, Lord, we don't know how to do it. And I just am so thankful we don't have to. Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much for these sisters. Wow. What can I celebrate today? You know? Where can I walk in peace today? Where can I walk in joy? Where can I walk in abundance and wholeness and completeness the way you did every single day on this earth? Please open my eyes, open all of our eyes to be able to see the person walking alongside us, whether it is in the mirror or whether it's literally next to us, driving in the grocery store, living next door in the park. I don't know. Please give us your eyes to be able to see. Please allow a kind word to pass over our lips so that somehow life can be spoken in, because the life is what rules today. Help us to understand what it means to live in the age to come today. Help us know what it is to be able to experience eternal life today. And we know it's yours. It's yours. It's your gift. It's your gift. And help us accept it. Help us receive it more and more every day. Thank you so much for this time. Go before us for your glory, for your name's sake, and for our good. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, you guys. Thanks, you guys. Thanks, you guys.